I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. Usually I start the sermon, and during the sermon I offer you some illustrations along the way, but I'm going to begin this morning with an illustration, and we'll do the sermon a little bit later. In 1776, a songwriter published a hymn that was destined to become a classic in traditional Christianity. It was called Amazing Grace. In 1964, a group called the Animals, Eric Burden and the Animals, recorded a song called House of the Rising Sun, which was about a brothel in New Orleans. About 1970, somebody said, I'm curious, what would happen if I took the words to this old classic traditional Christian hymn, Amazing Grace, and put them to the music of this rock and roll song from the 60s called House of the Rising Sun, and this is what happened. Thank you. I didn't think I'd ever be using a canned applause track, but that just required something, I'll tell you. Great job, Ben. I think it was like Thursday that I gave this assignment to James. He had never heard of this combination before, and he arranged it and put it together, and my, what a job you did. Thank you so much, Ben. We're so proud of you. Oh, my goodness. Wow. But we are talking this month about curiosity. And we define curiosity as a strong, or I would say compelling, desire to know or to learn something. And I want us to look today together at curiosity from a place of pure pleasure. Curiosity is useful in a lot of ways, and in many situations, curiosity is a matter of survival. But let's look at it as pleasure, something fun. And that has to begin with kids. As you know, kids are able to have fun anytime, anywhere, no matter what. I did some research about kids and curiosity, and one of the statistics I found says that children tend to ask questions 100 times a day. I think that's an underestimate, because when my kids were small, it seems like it's more like 100 questions an hour. But they ask a lot. And this is one of the manifestations of curiosity, is asking questions. Now, the research says that the top 10 questions, and I don't know who rated these or put these together, bound to be a parent involved, but the top 10 questions that kids tend to ask out of their exercise of curiosity is, why do people die? Where did I come from? What is God? How was I made? What does "we can't afford it" mean? Is Santa real? Why do I have to go to school? When you die, who will I live with? Why is the sky blue? And why can't I stay up as late as you? And a couple that came from my kids is, does chocolate milk come from brown cows? And if cows eat green grass, why is their milk white? Things that make you go, that you can't really answer. Now, one of the things that we tell people is that we need to mature and grow up and be responsible adults. And very often in the process of doing that, we lose a lot that children have, this innate curiosity that looks at the world and through eyes of wonder. We tend to lose that. Unfortunately, what I've discovered is that adults tend to preserve their childishness, but they lose their childlikeness. And there's a great difference between those two. Because I've seen adults throw temper tantrums that would rival anything I've seen kids do. And I've seen adults behave in ways that needed just a tad more maturity to be involved in it. But I want to encourage you, I'm going to motivate you, hopefully, to allow curiosity to work in you even now by asking questions. I wonder if, what if, what if not? All those things that come along, the questions that we have. I don't watch a whole lot of television, but one of my absolute favorite TV shows, I've mentioned it to you before, is called How's It Made? It's just a half-hour show, and they usually take three topics, and they tell you how something's made. Everything from hand-carved brooches to electronic equipment to school buses to trash compacting machines. They show you in a brief moment how this thing is made and put together. And that just fascinates me. I love that because I've always been curious about that. When I was a kid, everything I could take apart, I took apart and put back together so I could know how it works. And the only thing I ever took apart and didn't get back together in working form was a Kodak camera, one of the old black box cameras. It's probably worth no telling what is an antique now. It was not made to be taken apart and put back together. So that one did not go well. It didn't sit well with my mother either. But that curiosity has always been there, and it still pretty much persists now because I always wonder about how things work. How is that put together? Why doesn't this happen? Why doesn't that happen? Much like children do. So I encourage you to allow that curiosity to move within you and to be expressed in questions. Whether you express that question to anybody else or whether it just goes on within you, allow those questions to move, because very often a question, whether it gets answered or not, opens the door to another question, to another question, to another question. And it can become quite a pleasurable experience to make that happen. Now, there's a second way that curiosity tends to be manifested in us, not only in questions, but in experiments. Now, down through the years, kids have done a lot of experiments. You know, what happens if I put my stuffed toy in the toilet to give him a bath and then flush it? They learn from that, do they not? And parents do as well. You know, what happens when I put my crayon in a glass of milk? What happens if I stuff a gummy bear up my nose? Yeah. What happens if I draw on my little brother's face with a permanent marker? All those kind of things that you experiment. You know, it's not just a question. It's a matter, I'm going to do this and see what happens. And I won't tell you about some of the things I did along those lines. But that's one of the things that continues as we become adults, is this matter of experimentation. And there have been a lot of people down through the years and even now that are experimenters, that are manifestors of curiosity in this way. Albert Einstein said that I am not particularly talented, but I am passionately curious, which made a difference in how he showed up in life. And we've got people like Edison and Henry Ford. I met a gentleman one time. I was working as a chaplain in Kentucky. This has been many years ago. The old guy was about 100 years old then, and he personally knew Thomas Edison and Henry Ford. And I talked to him for hours. It was fascinating listening to him tell the stories about what he knew back then. But these were the heroes of invention, the heroes of curiosity, if you will. And then there was Nikola Tesla, Alexander Graham Bell, all those guys, and women were in there as well. But in modern times, I recently heard a presentation by Bill Gates and one by Elon Musk as well, emphasizing how important curiosity is for us in life. Not only in business, not only in technology, but in life, and being able to do those experiments as we go along. This experience with the music we just looked at was an experience of an experiment as well. James was a little hesitant right at first. It sounded weird to him, but it worked, did it not? Yes, it worked very well. A couple of inventions that came out of curiosity I'd mentioned to you. I'm sure all of you, one time or another, have used this. WD-40. Many people don't know what WD-40 stands for. This miracle liquid came out of the rocket industry. They were trying to find ways to protect rocket ships from corrosion. And they invented this. WD stands for water displacement, so things won't rust. And 40 stands for the 40th attempt to create this. It took them 40 times to get the recipe right, and here it is, WD-40, a product and experiment of curiosity, and it worked. I have a friend who, his name is Mark Deutsch. He plays electric bass in a rock and roll band. He plays bass violin in the symphony in St. Louis, and he also plays the sitar. And one day Mark said, I'm curious, what would happen if I took the fretboard off of a sitar and mounted it underneath the strings on a bass violin and created a new instrument? And he did. He called it a bazantar. And it is the most etheric, strange, wonderful music that you can imagine. If you can imagine the music of a bass violin along with the sitar, it was just incredible. Mark was an interesting character. We called him Jesus. He had long, dark hair, and he wore these flowing clothes. And of course, when he played the sitar, he was barefooted all the time, so that added to it as well. But I've often remembered that. I even have a recording of his music on the bazantar. But that was the result of the experimentation of curiosity. Now, our experimentation of curiosity may not always lead to a new invention. There's that show on television I've never watched called The Shark Tank, where people bring their inventions and present them to people who are investors, wanting the people to invest in their inventions, and some interesting things have come out of that. Some crazy things have been presented too, from what I've heard. But we may not get there with our curiosity, there with our experimentation, but we can do it in our life. You know, and I'm going to speak 2 weeks from today about how curiosity plays into our spiritual life, how it can become a spiritual discipline. But one of the things that we could say is, what would happen if I prayed every day at the same time in the same place? What would happen if I did 10 minutes of meditation? What would happen if I read my Bible every day and learned more about that? What would happen if I read some kind of metaphysical material every day? That's an experiment that comes out of your curiosity, your desire to learn and to know. So there are many ways this can play out in our life. This can play out in relationships, where you say, I'm curious. I wonder what that person was feeling when they said that to me. And you know what? The only way to know what that person was feeling when they said that to you is to ask them. That's an experiment out of curiosity. when you're interacting with somebody and you have a feeling that comes up in you that you don't fully understand. The possibility is to go back and talk to that person and say, you know, I don't really know what was going on when we had that conversation. Let's talk about it a bit more. That's an experiment that comes out of curiosity. If you have feelings that need to be expressed to someone, either positive or negative, then do it and see what happens. You don't really know until something happens. You don't know until that curiosity is expressed what's really going to happen. So that capability is within you. And I come back to my interest in calling this power, this ability of curiosity, the 13th power. Bev is teaching now the 12 powers of man by Charles Fillmore. And I think it'd be interesting to consider this as the 13th power, because it's important to us. It holds the possibility within us of shaping things and manifesting things in our lives that won't happen all by themselves. And that's one of the powerful things about curiosity, is it leads us in places that we wouldn't ordinarily go. We wouldn't, places and thoughts to come up that wouldn't just happen all by themselves unless we were deliberate about it, unless we're intentional about it. And we have the encouragement and the information about curiosity now to use it in that way. So I encourage you this week, and actually this whole month, or what's left of the month, to allow curiosity to move within you. And remember that one of the ways that curiosity is expressed is through questions. Ask the questions of somebody else, or ask the questions of yourself. If there's something that comes up, very often when I'm in a restaurant, when I used to be in a restaurant, not for a while now anyway, If something tasted particularly good, I'd often ask, you know, what's in this? Or could the chef give me the recipe for this? It's curiosity expressed through a question. I'm driving down the street and a little Prius with the hybrid engine goes by me, and I think, now how does that work? How does the switch go on between the gas engine and the electric engine? And that question goes on in my mind, which then leads to another question. And that keeps my mind active. Every time you ask a question, there's an electrical impulse that zips through your brain and makes your brain a little more alive, a little more happy, a little more aware of things. So ask those questions. And again, 2 weeks from today, we'll talk about some spiritual questions to be asking. And the second thing is to experiment. When you have a question that doesn't get answered, then experiment and see what you can find out for yourself. If you wonder about something, if you're curious about something, then manifest it and see what happens. You may learn a lot from that. You may learn not to do it ever again. I've had those experiences along the way where you try something and say, okay, done that, got the t-shirt, don't need to do it again. Those are important lessons too. Sometimes you remember those a whole lot better than the things that people tell you about. And there are ways to experiment in your spiritual life as well. So I encourage you this week to allow this power of curiosity to be active and powerful in you, and see what happens. See what kind of doors it opens in your mind and in your heart. See what kind of possibilities it creates for you. See what kind of experiences come of your being able to be curious out in the world. And our affirmation for this month, of course, is, let me get it right, I live in a world of wonder. So take that with you through this week. I live in a world of wonder, and I am passionately curious about what's really going on here. God bless you, my friends.
And now we wonder what it would be like if all of you would go online and sign up for smile.amazon.com. I think we could do better than the $86 that came in for the first quarter. So we have on the screen, if you're on live stream, we have on the screen, it's so simple. Lawrence and I each have an Amazon account, so does the church. If you just go to smile.amazon.com and choose Unity Church of Pompano Beach as your charity, then Amazon donates to us and doesn't take anything from you. So it's simple, and once you do it, it's real easy, and all your information, your order history, and all that is on Amazon, just like always. We want to also put up on the screen several ways for you to give. We are so blessed and excited about the involvement of people who are not able to come to the service, but yet get involved with us and send in a donation to show their appreciation. We give things of value here. At least we think they are of value to you. So we appreciate anything that you can give. The donate button on unitypompanobeach.org is always available to you. You can use that with a debit card, credit card. You can also give by an ACH transfer from your bank. In addition to that, there's bill pay, and there's even Zelle. So there are many ways that you can give. There's even a text to give. Won't you consider taking that active part of continuing the support of Unity of Pompano Beach as we continue forward, doing all that we've done before and more? So thank you for your gift, and let us think about giving right now, knowing that as we give, it feels good, and knowing that we put that energy forth, that attracting force that also brings us ideas and ways of support for ourselves as well. So giving and receiving, it's a spiritual law. Won't you hold your gift in your hand and think with me the blessing of divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies everything I am, everything I have, and everything I give. And so it is. Amen.